Tonight's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went to from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." Bless the reading of the word.
Thanks be to God.
So this isn't in the bulletin, but I saw that there were a couple of kiddos here today. You don't have to come up if you don't want to. I'm not going to make you do anything you don't want to do. But if you would like to come up and have a little bit of kids' time, I would love to share that with you. No? How about you? Would you like to come up? No? Okay. It's totally okay. Don't worry about it. I mean, I was just going to talk about this gorgeous little baby, and I was going to maybe ask you to help me put this baby in its manger, but that's fine. I'll do it. No worries. Please pray with me. Loving God, by the gift of your Spirit, teach us, like Mary, to treasure your words and ponder them in our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, your word made flesh. Amen. This whole Christmas Eve thing is a big deal. And I normally don't have that much trouble writing a sermon because, you know, like I take little chunks of the Bible at a time and, you know, just sort of relay them. But then, like Christmas Eve, it's like, oh, it's such a big deal and there's, you know, tons of people here and how do I summarize the entire Bible in like 10 minutes? And so it gets... my mind gets all jumbled up. But I was thinking, like, okay, if we just focus on the birth of Jesus, if we just focus on this one night, whew, we really got this Christmas thing wrong. I mean, it's highly unlikely that Jesus was born in December, let alone on this very night 2,000 years ago. I mean, and we bring in these trees and decorate them with lights. Obviously, we saw the pagans celebrating Saturnalia and thought that this would be a great way to make Christianity more palatable to the Romans and the pagans. And then we give these gifts. And that probably started out like a pretty harmless thing, you know, like it's a representative of the gifts that the Magi gave to Jesus. You know, we give each other small tokens of our love and appreciation for one another. often it started out like handmade things. And somehow we've gotten to a point where people fight in store aisles over the Bluey Playhouse and or a Squishmallows mystery box. And even beyond that, like so many of us go into debt so that we can just buy that absolute perfect gift. Some people say that, you know, because of all that, we should just throw the whole thing out. Let's just get rid of the whole Christmas thing. It's meh. I don't know about that. I love the twinkling lights. I really enjoy gift giving. I enjoy listening to the stories and the singing, gathering with my family and friends, and the cookies. Oh, the cookies. All of these things really help me get into a festive mood, especially when the darkness, both the literal darkness and the metaphorical darkness, seems to just close in. I'd also propose that even though we don't know exactly when Jesus was born, that doesn't make this night that we've chosen to commemorate Jesus' birth any less meaningful. What's really important to remember here is that the light of the world, God with us, Emmanuel, was born. That God loves humanity so very much that in an effort to understand us, God came to live with us in human flesh. Luke's gospel, what we heard today, is the most complete, most descriptive birth narrative in the Bible. Yet, we humans are still compelled to add more details about the arrival of Jesus through our songs and our stories and our pageants. We have the benefit of knowing what happens to this baby. And we can't believe that it could possibly be reduced to a few paragraphs. We need to embellish on it a little bit more. I don't know, personally, I love Christmas pageants. I think they are so fun. I love watching the kiddos dress up and play all the parts. We've got Mary and Joseph and the cows and the sheep and the camels. And of course, lots and lots of angels. Mary and Joseph have to travel to Bethlehem from Nazareth in order to participate in a census. And we picture them, you know, in the pageants, they're traveling alone. Mary's riding a donkey. Joseph walks beside her. Finally, they arrive to Bethlehem in the middle of the night, and they're looking for a place to stay. Joseph didn't make any reservations. And after knocking on the door, one of the cranky innkeepers slams the door shut and yells, "Sorry, no room. Get out of here." And they try a few other hotels with the same response until finally one says, "Look, I don't have any rooms, but there's a stable out back. You can sleep in that." Mary goes into a labor almost immediately, all by herself. Some shepherds stop by to visit, and because, you know, the angels told them to. And then a few days later, these three guys from the east come and give a few very impractical baby gifts. I'm not opposed to some creative licensing here and there, but I think that it is important to recognize that we have changed quite a few things in this story because of differences in our language, differences in our cultures, quite honestly, even some theological convictions. But I think the most important discrepancy, the biggest takeaway is that Mary and Joseph were never, ever alone during this entire journey. As they traveled to Bethlehem, they likely would have traveled with a caravan. There are many other people that needed to make the same trip. And it just makes sense that they journeyed in groups for protection and collaboration. As far as Mary traveling by donkey, can any of you moms out there imagine riding a donkey for 90 miles during your third trimester? I'm willing to bet there was a cart of some sort. The reason Joseph needed to travel to Bethlehem for the census is because that's where he was from. He had family there. He had land there. Jesus' birth takes place in a time where hospitality is a very high value in the culture. So it's very unlikely that Joseph's family didn't welcome them into their home. The word that we translate to inn is referring to a guest room or a spare room. That's the same word that we translate into upper room in the recounting of the Last Supper. Mary and Joseph weren't looking for a hotel accommodations. But there is a census happening. Another family is in town. Joseph's family home is crowded. The spare room is crowded. It's not really an appropriate place to give birth. With all those other people around, she doesn't have any room. Now, most homes at this time would have a lower level where it would have like a dirt floor and there would be like a feeding trough. That's where they would bring the animals in at night to keep them safe. And so they kicked out all of the animals and they prepped that area for birth. They made it clean. They made it warm. When Mary went into labor, she didn't do it alone. She was probably surrounded by other women in the family, maybe even a midwife, helped her through the process. It was still probably quite scary, right? She was in an unfamiliar place. She'd never given birth before, but at the end of it all, despite the songs and the stories and the poems we imagine, Jesus was born surrounded by family and love. And then those angels, they went to appear to announce the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. Shepherds. Stinky, dirty, homeless, low-class, suspicious shepherds. These were shepherds that were just going about their everyday activity. They weren't looking for a special sign. They were just ordinary people. Yet these were the first people God thought to tell about the birth of Jesus, who was surrounded by love, who is love, who teaches love. Do all of these details really matter? I mean, maybe not. But when we hear the scriptures within their original contexts, rather than imposing our culture about on it, our viewpoints, the way that we understand the world, we understand that Mary and Joseph were real people. The shepherds were real people. God came to earth in the form of a vulnerable baby born to ordinary people who would love and protect and care for him. And too often, I think we like to think that we're the ones that should be seeking out God. And we stop and we seek out these beautiful, extraordinary places. We set aside the perfect time and place to watch and wait for God to appear. Yet God seeks us. God finds us to fill us with love, to fill us with companionship. And it's often in the most unexpected and ordinary places that that happens. In a small town, in the grocery store, amongst family, on a plane, in a crowded guest room, and yeah, even in a manger. Thanks be to God. Amen.